The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Seemed very, very long today, Kanan, your entrance, which is ironic because there are two stories I want to get through. Number one, firstly, are you well? How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. I'm a little bit coughing, so we may be witnessing the effects of the coronavirus in Europe live, but otherwise doing fine.
Oh my goodness, I really hope not, but sure, that's quite something. Kanan, I hope it's nothing. And we've been having a debate here this afternoon all because of you, trying to work out whether Jachnun is better than Malawach, and I thought you could weigh in on the issue.
I'm amazed that you are so intimately familiar with these dishes. I actually have very, very solid opinions about this. For the first half of my life, I was definitely on the side of Malawach, which is basically fried leaf dough, layered dough. And totally dismissive of Jachnun, which I thought was the same thing, only rolled up, baked with brown sugar, and then presented as a lump of dough pretending to be an edible dish. But during my military service, I was completely won over by the charms of Jachnun that may be served with chopped tomatoes and coriander, to really, really bring out that sweetness with the savory tastes of the vegetables to a dazzling effect.
I am absolutely horrified and gobsmacked and don't know what to say, because how that can ever compare with the crispiness of a Malawach, I do not understand. But never mind, clearly an issue of personal taste. Tell us about this full-time mom in Munich. What's she doing about all this Yemeni food?
All right, that was just a segue. It turned into the main course. So in lockdown Munich in Germany, I spoke to a full-time mom. She moved there recently from Israel, and she's climbing the walls in Munich. She has two kids who are kind of grown up, so they can go out and play with other kids. She's stuck there alone. She's not supposed to go out. Her husband is a high-tech worker. That's why they came to Munich. And she was looking for things to do to pass the time. And she thought, hey, you know, what's more comforting, again, like I said, than Jachnun? Let's start supplying people with Jachnun here. And she got an old diaper-changing furniture. I don't know what's the term in English. It escapes me now. Diaper-changing station, cleaned it up, of course, and use that as a surface to make my lawa. Which involves, I learned, I zoomed with her on the computer, spreading out a thin film of dough over a pretty large area, and until it starts getting holes, and that's when you know that it's tight enough, and then folding it up in a certain way, which I couldn't really see how. It was too fast. And her grandmother from Yemen, it's a Yemenite dish, obviously, as Malawach is, she taught her how to do it. And she's doing it as basically a charity project. And she bakes these things. It's costing them quite a bit. It's 12 hours in the oven each time. She does it. It's a weekend food, we should add. So she does it on the weekends. And then on Saturday, her husband goes on the U-Bahn, the metro, and distributes this Jachnun to Israelis who, of course, have no other access to this ultimate comfort food. slowly but surely, it's getting a following also among Germans, because one neighbor sees him delivering mysteriously, like a drug dealer, this packet of Jachnun ceremony around. So Germans are discovering Jachnun. Thanks for
that. Is what a remarkable story. It's such an ugly looking food. It tastes so much better than it looks. That's first. And secondly, who thought that Germans would be eating carbs? You know, like the world doesn't do that anymore, but clearly they are. Tom, let's talk also about the second story you were going to chat about this afternoon, which is the fact that populists in Europe apparently still basking in Trump's legacy, despite the fact that he lost.
Right. So I was, like everyone, reading the news from America, and over there There's a large chunk of the population that's relieved that Trump has apparently lost the elections, and another chunk of the population that's devastated. You know, people who had giant billboards on their lawns, crying and in disbelief and distrusting everything that the American system is built on. So, and I expected, I thought, hey, you know, let's call up some Trump supporters here in Europe. And I expected to hear kind of, the same mournful song. But, what I heard was very different to my surprise, which is these are people just like in South Africa and less so in Israel. These are people who are unaffected by American domestic policy. So to them, Trump is a phenomenon. To us, Trump is a phenomenon, not a leader. And apparently a lot of his supporters here in Europe believe that even though he lost, the way he lost is very encouraging to their populist cause because he was expected to be blown out by the Democrats. He wasn't. Or whatever happens now, he very narrowly got defeated, if he is defeated. The Senate and the Congress also, Republicans picked up seats. So it was much less of a defeat. And to people like Michel Toury, who's a Jewish police union boss in France, who supports the National Assembly, the National Front, the far-right movement, that's actually a very positive sign. He says, look, a populist leader can not only win, but conceivably retain power. And that means that the road to this kind of leader is open also here in France. The only thing is we now need to find a Trump because the people we got, they don't have that charisma. They don't have that ability to connect and rally the traditional right with the far right. And so we need to find a Trump of our own. That's the message I'm hearing, to my surprise, from Trump's Jewish and non-Jewish supporters in Europe.
So that's really fascinating because that bears out a lot of the reading that I've been doing, Kanaan, which is saying that Trumpism is so much bigger than Trump. And those who are naive enough to think that his losing or apparently losing the election was going to cause a major shift in world politics actually got it really, really wrong.
So, and one more point on the UK, which I know is very dear to our listeners' hearts. Actually, Brexiters in the UK are pretty happy that Trump is gone because now the UK is going to negotiate a trade deal with the US over Brexit, and Trump is a pretty tough negotiator. So they're better actually off with Biden.
What an interesting take. Now, Lipschitz, here's hoping that your cough is merely a cough and that you're absolutely fine and we get to talk to you at the same time next week with no issues at all.
Thank you. Goodbye.